Gotta admit, this is nice. I guess. Decca Talent sounded unhappy about it as she rubbed a bedsheet between thumb and forefinger. It's all so smooth and soft. Beats my old sleeping bag, Frances Spector said, yawning, ruffling her red hair and throwing back the covers of her own bed. Do you mind if I... She gestured toward the bathroom. It's your bathroom as much as mine, kid. They'd shared the bedroom, each with their own queen-sized bed, nightlight, side table, bottle of spring water, TV remote, and pillow mints. Decca was the elder of the two, of voting, if not yet drinking age, and had about her a seriousness and physical presence that made her seem older. Frances Spector was a new person in Decca's life, and in the life of the rest of their group as well. An underfed white girl of 14, with wary, suspicious eyes. Both girls had pasts full of pain and trauma. Decca had survived the phase, usually called the Perdido Beach Anomaly, or PBA, the bizarre 20-mile in diameter, impenetrable, opaque dome that had imprisoned 332 kids under the age of 15. 332 kids at the start, far fewer by the end. Following the collapse of the phase dome, Decca had had 4 years of relative normalcy, doing her best to sink back into obscurity as a cashier at a Bay Area Safeway. That obscurity had ended when it was learned that more of the rock, the same alien mutagenic virus-infected celestial debris that had caused the phase, was heading for Earth. A secret government group, Homeland Security Task Force 66, had brought Decca to the ranch, and there had tried to use the rock to give her some of the powers she'd had in the phase. HSTF-66's plan had worked, partially. Decca had gained powers, but not the powers she'd once held in the phase. Things had changed. Outside the confines of the dome, rock mutations yielded more terrifying powers that were accompanied by physical changes, often quite extreme. In Decca's case, the rock had grabbed a bit of cat DNA and some imagery from Decca's own mind, played its inscrutable game, and yielded a morph with poisonous snakes where her dreads were, and a body covered in fur. And Decca's old power of canceling gravity had been replaced by an ability to shred anything or anyone in her path. Like she was a human blender, a human chainsaw. She'd learned to focus this power, but it was still horrifically destructive. In the course of too many battles, Decca had turned walls and floors and ceilings to mulch. And human beings, bad guys to be sure, but still human beings, had been reduced to bloody gobbets. By Decca. By her will. Decca was not happy about the soft sheets, because Decca had zero reason to believe that life would continue to allow her to survive, let alone survive in luxury. She was also not happy about the 4.5 bathrooms, each a wonder of marble and mirrors and glass, with deep tubs and showers that could have been used to hose off a whole rugby team, outfitted with towels so thick and soft Decca could have slept comfortably on one of them, let alone the bed. Luxury, in Decca's opinion, made you soft. And the future did not feel soft. But the sheets sure do. Also, she admitted privately, it was a bit intimidating. She was not a rich kid, like her sidekick Armo, who took it all in stride. Armo's path to the Rockborn gang had started when he wrecked his 600-horsepower, $90,000 Viper in Malibu. Decca could not have afforded to pay a month's insurance on such a vehicle. As for Frances Spector, Decca knew that she had endured a very different sort of hardship, living with her mother as her mother descended into drug addiction and a depraved life with a racist biker gang at a bare-bones compound in the Mojave Desert. Frances was also rock-born, but while Decca had a straightforwardly destructive power, Francis had a stranger, deeper, harder to understand ability. Francis could pass through solid objects. Or at least, that's how it looked to people.